Yes, good morning again. This is Daniel King. Continuing with the theme there in Hebrews 4, I'd just like to read Hebrews 4, verse 14. Well, maybe I'll read it, start at 12. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in help to help in time of need. You know, the point that I'd like to make here this morning, as far as walking in our calling, as far as embracing the ordination that God has placed in our lives, and I would like to just add here with that I do believe that God does have a calling on every person's life. I believe that, you know, for every person, his journey is unique. Every person's testimony is unique. Every person's relationship is unique. But for the most part, I think they follow certain patterns. And I think that's one of them here. I think that's one thing here. For the most part, our Christian life includes repentance, a new heart, sanctification, which is a victory over the old ways, over sin and self, and then a calling, which is some kind of a ministry, some kind of a service to the body of Christ or to those that are still lost, you know. I don't think this life is just the life of God giving us salvation and then we just enjoy it for ourselves. I think there's a responsibility that comes. I would just like to add here, too, that there are certain times when certain truths are said to make a point. And there's one truth. There's one thing that's been said already, I've heard it say a lot of times, that God doesn't need you. God can easily accomplish what he wants to without you. I would like to just maybe push back on that a bit for the sake of a point. I think I know the thought behind that at the end it's all about God, and it's all about his glory. And I do understand that thought. But on the other hand, God needed Jesus, and Jesus needed his 12 disciples. And that's one thing we can know, that God did need Jesus on the earth, and Jesus did need those 12 men. They were his only hope. Of advancing the kingdom. And I would just like to suggest, without a desire for this not to be taken out of context, but I would just like to suggest that God needs you. Jesus needs you. Jesus needs me to accomplish his will. There's something about a person with skin on, who's filled with the Holy Spirit, that cannot be, there's a certain advantage or work that is cut out for that person that God can't really do any other way. Because if God would send angels to do this work or if everything were just through the Holy Spirit revelation to direct it to man, and that happens a lot, but that would cut out all responsibility for us. So I would just like to maybe put a little bit of balance in that. I think you know what I'm saying. But the most part, what I'm wanting to talk about this morning is the priest, the high priest side of Jesus. And you know, the priests were continually reconciling the people with God. They were there cutting up animals. They were there talking to people as they received their sacrifices. And, you know, they were constantly listening to the sins that the people had committed that they were bringing their sacrifices for. Different ones, they would instruct people. And that was the role of a priest. Pretty much whenever there was a breach between God and man, the priest would be the one to bridge that, restore that. And that's how Jesus is. You know, it's an amazing thing that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us today. And if you are a child of God, no matter where you are, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you, for you, for you personally. And that's going on right now as we speak, the way that I would understand that. And so there's this tremendous advantage that we have as believers. There's a lot of things that come against us, a lot. You know, there's things that come against us as we seek to walk in our calling. And there's just a lot of things that are stacked against us. But there's also a lot that is vouching for us, so to speak. And I'm convinced that on that side it's far greater, because we do know who will win the battle in the end. And that's been one of the greatest encouragements for me, that no matter what happens, you know, I've been just several times came to a crossroad where I needed to decide, am I going to continue with this Christian life? Is it worth it? And every time it took me back to how when I first met God, and I realized the faithfulness of God, and I would encourage you all to do that. Start back to when you first knew God and think about all those God moments in your life. Just think about and reflect on them. And just reflect on how God has used you. Not man, but God himself. What was your experience with God? And just, make a decision on, based on that, how you will be loyal to him. And I'm just really encouraged this morning in this area of a high priest. You know, yes, there's times when you feel like you want to throw in the towel. But think of the consequences of that. And think of the hurt that creates in Jesus. Just like if one of our sons would just throw in the towel and just leave him, you know, think of the hurt that would create. And think of the joy as fathers, every time there's a conflict and when there's a restoration and once again a surrender to each other. What joy that brings. And that's the same with Jesus. It's no different. Our surrender to him and the joy that brings and the immediate peace, the refreshment, the rest, coming back to that rest. And I think that's the place where God wants us to walk in, is that land of rest, to cease from our striving, to cease from our works, to cease to try to manipulate God and to make God see it our way, but rather just to surrender, throwing ourselves in the Lord and saying, yes, Lord, I will follow you no matter what, no matter where you lead me, no matter what the calling, no matter what the circumstances, I will follow. I will follow you. And with that comes a rest. There is a reward that Jesus has waiting for us, that we could keep our eyes on that as well. There's a calling and an ordination now. There's a reward coming. It says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard. So we can go for it, even to the point of it costing our life. We have nothing to hold back on. We don't have to fear, or we don't have to avoid dangerous places in our calling. We don't have to avoid radical moves. If Jesus says go, we can go, even if it means selling what we have, moving to another location, moving to a far less ideal location, whatever it means. When Jesus says go, in order to follow that, in order to live in that rest, the only way is to go. May the Lord bless you as you consider these things and as you surrender to Jesus.